Buongiorno and welcome to the Italian American Radio Show and Podcast. Whether you're sipping an espresso, indulging in a plate of pasta, or just tuning in from your favorite pizzeria, we're here to bring you the flavors, traditions, and stories that make up the heart of the Italian American experience. From the bustling streets of Little Italy to the family kitchens where recipes are passed down through generations, we'll explore it all. So grab a cannoli, settle in, and let's embark on this delightful journey together. In each episode, we'll feature interviews with fascinating guests, share authentic recipes, and dive into the history that shaped the Italian-American community. But most importantly, we want to hear from you. Call in, share your stories, and let's create a community that celebrates the essence of La Dolce Vita. You can also catch our podcast episodes for a taste of Italy wherever you are. So whether you're Nana's favorite or just discovering your roots, get ready for a radio experience that's amore. Right here on the Italian American Radio Show and Podcast. Andiamo! Stay tuned for an hour of cultural delights coming your way on the Italian American Radio Show and Podcast.
Good afternoon out there in Las Vegas land. This is Fran with the Italian American Radio Show and Podcast. I hope you've had a nice weekend so far, and I hope the rest of the week is going to be good for you also. My week last week was horrible. Terrible. It seemed like everything I did just went wrong. You know, everybody gets those weeks. Normally, they're those days, not actually weeks. But mine was the whole week. And that even to this morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, getting phone calls at 5. Unbelievable. But, you know, that's life. And what are you going to do? Just go along with the program. That's all you can do. What I wanted to talk about today, I could have called some people and had some people come on the show, but I was getting a little upset with what I saw all week and the last week going on in our country. I mean, not the last week, really, the last few years. But the last week has really been horrible. Really, truly, just horrible. You have a lot of young kids in these colleges, and they're just so out of line with what they're doing and what they're protesting. You hear about the same line all the time, you know, to get rid of the Israelis, get rid of the Jews, kill the Jews, burn them, you know, just craziness, madness is what I call it. You know, it's just complete madness. And 90% of these kids have no idea what they're even talking about. They have no idea at all. And this is what I'm going to say and what I thought about this. I was 15 years old. I'm at my friend's house, Jackie's house, and it was a Saturday or a Sunday morning. I don't really remember what it was, but the news came on. I think his dad was sitting on his sofa because it was during the morning watching the news. And it was Israel. It was Palestine. The kids in Palestine were burning tires, rolling them down, trying to set the Israeli little houses on fire and fighting with the soldiers. And, you know, it was, you know, and you look at it, and the soldiers were shooting rubber bullets back and trying to stop them from, you know, if you ever seen a fire in a tire, it's pretty bad. Just one, it just burns forever. You put 10 of them together and you really got something. But they know that. My point is, what happened was the people, I got a call coming in from New Jersey to my private line, and she helped me with this show a long time ago, so I'm wondering what Catherine wants. What do you want, Catherine? In any event, the idea was they're looking to, you know, just disrupt the Israeli soldiers. And, you know, at the time, to be very honest about it, I was all for them. I felt sorry for them. I was a kid. They were kids. And I thought that it was terrible that the Israelis were shooting at them and arresting them and fighting with them. And their line was always, they have nowhere to live, they have no food, they don't have this, they don't have that. Well, that was 1965, and here we are at 2024, and it's the same nonsense from the Palestinians, but 20 times worse. They were given the Gaza Strip. They were given it. They were given Palestine. The Israelis gave them land and homes because the Israelis moved out. And all they had to do was continue business. Just keep business. You know, like kind of like what happened here with the Democrats and the Republicans. All the Democrats had to do when Trump was voted out was just do the things that Trump had set up. Had they done that, we would have been living very, very well. Everybody would have been living very well because he had everything running pretty smooth. Didn't have it totally, but he was getting there. He was getting there. And if it wasn't for COVID, he probably would have got there. But in any event, COVID hurt a lot of people, and a lot of things that they did with the COVID hurt a lot of people, and they're still hurting from it. You know, the people just lost a lot of money. They lost families, friends. But I want to get back to the Jewish, Muslim, Palestinians still doing the same thing that they did 50 years ago, 60 years ago. And my point is this. What I haven't heard from any of these college kids that they're getting out there with them. You notice they all have masks. You know, it's kind of like, you know, these punks that murder old people and young kids and they just murder people. And then all of a sudden they get in a courtroom and they want to plead not guilty. See, they didn't do it. They didn't do it. You know, I'm not guilty. I just murdered three people, but I'm pleading not guilty. And, you know, that's been going on for years now because they've been getting away with it. When I was a kid, you killed a cop, you went to the electric chair. It was that simple. That simple. If you were sick on the street, they were called paddy wagons when I was a kid. It was a paddy wagon pulled up. They grabbed the guy or the woman, whatever it was, and they took him out to Eagleville, Pennsylvania, and there was a sanitarium out there. And whether they were alcoholics or if they were drug addicts or they were just crazy, they'd take them out there, they'd evaluate them, and they'd keep them there. I think they kept them there for 6 months, mandatory, to get them back in shape, whatever it was. If they were an alcoholic, they were dried out. They had plenty of food to eat. They had plenty of shower time to clean up. They had clothes. They got new clothes to wear. They gave them back their dignity. That's not what's happening today. Today, they're allowing people to just live on the street. You have these poor people that they're so screwed up with drugs, they don't know if they're coming or going. And some of them didn't know if they were coming or going before they took the drugs. But my point is, you can't do that in a society. You can't take the police like they did. They took the police out of the cities. How do you do that and think that you're going to control a city with no police? No protection. Well, you can't. And that's what's happened. That's why you see 20 kids or 10 kids or just one person with the arrogance to walk into a shop and just start stealing whatever he wants to steal. And then you have these morons, and which is what they are, they're nitwit morons that are running these politicians, running these cities, saying it's okay to rob over up to $1,000. You know, we won't prosecute you. So go out in there and get all the shaving cream you want and all the aftershave and toothpaste and whatever else you can get your hands on. And I noticed they never steal food. You know, they never steal the food. They steal everything but food, televisions, you know, phones. I watched the one guy on television. He goes in an Apple store and steals 50, 60 phones, one after another, just walking down the line. And there's 10 people standing there watching this punk do this and let him get away with it. When we were kids, we would have beat him half to death. I'm telling you just the way it is and the way it was. We would have beat him unmerciful. He'd have got the phones all right. He'd have got hit in the head with every one that we took off, and we would have hit him over the head with it. And that makes it stop. And it makes it stop in that particular area anyway. They don't come to that area to torment people and rob people. They just don't. I had an old stevedore, old man, Friday afternoon, coming home from work. Directly across the street from my house, I was a kid. I was 13 years old. And he's across the street from my house, and he's walking up the street, and he was probably 60 years old if he was a day. Tired. Right? You could tell he was very tired. He worked on a ship. And here's two guys behind him. They, with a knife, they cut his back pocket, because that's where he had his wallet. They cut his back pocket. They punch him, naturally. But he was putting up a little bit of fight, but they did get his wallet. But what they didn't know was my two brothers were in the house. And I ran in the house, and I told Rudy and Bobby. They came out with baseball bats. And I tell you this, they didn't get the one guy, but they did get the other guy. Bobby got the other guy. And he ratted on his pal, and they were arrested. Naturally, they were arrested. I was a witness to it. I was the only witness to it. And I went in and I did what I had to do, which was prosecute them for robbing and hitting that old man. 60-year-old guy. And these guys are 20 years old, 25 years, 24 years old. And this was in Philadelphia. The district attorney, his name was Gene Alessandroni. He was the DA there, assistant DA maybe at the time. But he wasn't the guy... You know, he was the guy. He was the guy that was prosecuting them. And he told the judge, very matter-of-factly, that he wanted them in jail. He didn't want to hear nothing. And his father was a big politician. His dad, Gene Ellison. I think he was a judge, too, circuit judge or something. But in any event, he came from good stock, the Alessandronis. In any event, these two characters, the judge put the one guy in jail for 4 years, gave him 4 years, but he let the other guy go. Excuse me. When I got out in the hall, and the Gene Alessandroni told them in the courtroom and told the other guy, if you come around this kid's house or you send anybody around to this kid's house, you'll be back here. And you'll be getting more than 4 years. And you that's getting the 4 years, I'll see to, we'll bump that up to 10 years. Let that kid call me and tell me that you're harassing him or you got friends harassing him. I got out in the hallway and I asked Gene Alessandroni why they let the other guy go. He said, well, they let the other guy go figuring the guy that got punished would rat on him. See, they wouldn't rat each other out. But he didn't do it. So the one guy walked, the other guy got 4 years. I'm telling you the story because I wanted you to understand. I wasn't kidding. You did something in South Philly on 2nd Street where I grew up, but it didn't matter if it was 2nd Street or 8th Street or 9th Street or 15th Street. And they grabbed you. The young guys grabbed you. You got worked over. It was that simple. There was no ifs, ands, buts about it. You got beat up. And that's the truth. And what's happened, what they've done, they've taken that right away from the people to defend themselves. They call you the perpetrator, not them. You're the one, because you see something that you don't like and you want to do something about it, but you're not allowed. And you know what's really funny? Because they did that, they actually had the audacity to do it to the police, and they did. They told the police, "No, you can't arrest them. No, you got to let them do it. You got to let them. You got right in front of you. You got to let them rob you." Now, what do you think they're saying to the cops when they walk out of a store and their hands are full of all the swag they just stole? And they're looking at the cops. They're laughing at him, laughing in his face. Here's a guy that's joined the force to protect people, and he can't do anything about it because of the politicians. And that's why these politicians, they really need to be replaced. A lot of them, they need to be replaced. And I'm not talking out of school, and I'm not mentioning any names. If you're hearing what I'm saying, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you know it's true. And you know that you need to vote certain people out of office. Get rid of them. And that way you can come back and say to the new people, if you don't do your job, we're going to vote you out too. You see, you're supposed to be an American. You're supposed to want the best for the American people, not what we're getting. I'm looking at things. I'm saying, I can't believe what I'm watching. I just can't believe what I've seen in the last 4 years. And more than that in reality, but the last 4 years have just been incredible, last 3.5 years. But if anybody's got anything that they want to call and talk to me about, I want you to call in. If you got something you want to say, I'll put you right on the air, 702-221-7283. 221-7283. You can call me and we'll talk. But, you know, there's so much going on. Getting back to the college kids, what I don't hear them say is, what about the Americans that were kidnapped? What about this other 120 or 130 people, killed children, older people, older men, older women, young girls, young kids, young guys? That they're still in some basement or some tunnel somewhere with these pieces of crap, because that's what they are, that refuse to just do the right thing for their own people. They just refuse to do it. They're just going to do whatever they want to do to make money, to terrorize people. And I think, and I believe this, and I do, I think they, you know, that movie, there was a movie, it was a very good movie. It was called A Bridge Too Far. And sometimes you go a bridge too far. And I think that's what happened with the Palestinians. They went a bridge too far. And by killing all those Israelis in an afternoon party, a morning party, to kill all those young kids, to go there and machine gun, go into their homes and burn little children in front of their families, cut people's heads off and laugh about it. Well, how much longer do you think you can get away with that before real people say, you know, enough is enough and I'm going to end this? And then you got a million people going to end it. And I don't mean a million people with baseball bats and stones and sticks. I mean people that stand up and say, listen, we're going to send a military in there, and you're going to be murdered. Just the way you're murdering people, that's what they're going to do to you. If you don't surrender, you're going to be murdered. And that's exactly what's going to happen sooner or later. You can't keep killing, just murdering people and laughing about it. And people, they never, ever admit to what it is they want. They don't want that. And instead of these college kids understanding that people were killed, murdered, children murdered, a lot of children were murdered, and they never bring that up. I guess they're not allowed. I guess the people that are running the shows in all of these colleges which we're finding out now, there's like 250 organizations that are all tied in with the Muslims. I guess they're the ones that are telling the kids what they can say and what they can't say. And, yeah, keep the masks on and don't commit to anything. Don't talk about anybody's names or anything because they're all cowards. But the bottom line is it's all coming to an end, and it really is. Sooner or later, it's going to end. And that's what's happening over there now. The Israelis have said enough is enough. You've now went too far. You killed almost 1,300 people in one morning, murdered them, machine gunned them, hatcheted them, hacked them with machetes and hatchets. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? In 2024, this is what you're doing in a place like Israel, you know, the Holy Land, for both sides. That's the Holy Land for the Muslims and the Israelis. To do things like that. And what do we do? And what's the world do? We try to take care of them, feed them, water them, give them shelter. Do they come out? Do the people, the actual people, come out and say, we're really sorry about what happened? I haven't heard one Palestinian say anything about the people that were murdered. Nothing. Not a word. What is that about? How do you figure that one out? That not one person would say it was wrong to do that. Well, I guess they don't believe that it was wrong. They think it was okay. It was all right to do. The other side of it is, you have these college kids. They don't say anything about it. All they're talking about is they want to get rid of the Jewish people. They want to get rid of the Jewish people. The Jews have been around for 5,000 years. You want to get rid of the Jews? What are you, crazy? Seriously, are you out of your mind? And where are their parents? You know, you got a kid going to college, running rampant, making all kind of noise, all kind of ridiculous noise. And even with that, though, did you notice, Justin, did you notice when they would get grabbed, how they were crying and screaming? You know, all of a sudden, you know what I mean? The wheels changed, you know what I mean? Instead of going forward, they were going backwards. Well, that's what happens, when people finally get tired of you. And if you think that there's more of you than there are of us, you're wrong. And you're going to find that out. Little by little, you're going to find it out. But you're not going to like it. But you've done a lot of damage to this country. You really have. A lot of people have done a lot of bad things to this country. I'm sick of it, and I know there are millions and millions and millions of other people that are sick of it. Sick of looking at your face, actually. I'm sick of looking at you, much less listening to you, because you got nothing else. You have nothing to say that's worthwhile at all. And I hope, and I truly do, I hope that we have some people that can come in and do the right thing by the Palestinians, but have them understand, you have to tell the truth. You can't have these terrorists living in your houses and underneath your home and putting their weapons under your beds and tunnels in your house. What is that about? You know, you hate the Israelis that much. Why don't you get a job? Why don't you try building a business? I'll tell you why, because they won't let you. The same people that you're protecting won't let you build the business where you live. That's the truth. Think about that for a while. Well, Justin, I vented for a little bit here. I want to stop now. I could go on and on, but I'm just a little mad at what I see. But it's not, you know, it's contagious. People, they just do the same thing no matter what's going on. They keep doing the same stupid stuff, and they do it here. Thought I had a call, but I guess I didn't. You have the same people doing the same thing in this country. They're allowing people to just come roughshod, run into our country, and demand, actually demand. And then you have politicians like this screwball in New York mayor that's giving them $500 a week. Excuse me. Give them a credit card worth $5,000 each person. Do you know what kind of money you're talking about? And you have people, excuse me, living on the streets long before the foreigners came crashing across the borders. And there's so many now, you can't just say it's Mexicans because it's not. You got 100 different nationalities coming across the border. Now, who's crazy? Is it us? Are the Americans people crazy? Or is it the people that's allowing it crazy? I got an answer for it. I think it's the people that are allowing it. And that's why they have to be replaced. Anybody that would okay that is insane. You know, there's something wrong with you. Now, I'm listening to what's going on now with the elections, how all the Democrats, they're getting a little flustered, you know, because their shenanigans have finally caught up with them, and the people don't want to hear it anymore, and the people don't want to hear how they're going to change things, and how they're going to change, and how they're going to do things like Trump. You know, we're going to bring in those bring that stuff back. Well, it's a little late for that now, to be honest. Nobody believes it. I heard something on the news last night where it was really something. I'm not going to say that what the news was, but this guy's a major player on the news. And he was talking to one of Biden's top guys, very top guys. And he laid him out. He said, you know, you can't lie anymore. You can't just lie to people to their face. And that's what he did. When he said that when he came to office, the inflation rate was 9.2 or 9.3% when it was really 1.5%, and he just does it all the time. And this guy just did not want to hear it anymore. Now, naturally, Biden's guy kept saying, "Oh no, it really was," and it got into a shouting match that Biden's guy didn't win it. He lost it. He lost it. I'm not going to say who it was because people, it was a major channel. He's a major guy on TV all day long. And, I'm not crazy about the guy. I never really was. But I was proud of him yesterday because he really took up for the people and telling the guy, you know, when you have young people can't buy a house. They can't buy a house because of what you've done. How can you buy a house when the actual here in Las Vegas, house has doubled since he's in office? Are you kidding me? So if the house was $200,000 three and a half years ago, it's $400,000 now? Well, how do you buy that at 7%, 8%, 9% interest? That's if you have good credit. Well, how could you 7, 14, 21, 20? You're talking about paying $3,500, $3,600 a month mortgage. Who could afford that? Well, this is what's happening to our country because this man has put so many weak people in office, weak-minded and weak-backboned. They just, and most of them could care less about the country because you wouldn't do it to your home. So why would you do it to your country? It's enough of that, but I want to talk about my show and talk to Justin over here. He's over here with his phone. I don't know what he's doing on that phone, but it has something to do with the station. Oh, he's working hard, this kid. Working hard. And he always does. But Emily went to, she's in Disneyland for a week down in Florida. She made some mouse ears, homemade. She said she's going to send us pictures of her and her mom in their Mickey Mouse ears. And She was talking about the Emily's a girl that started with me almost 3 years ago now, when I started the Italian-American show. She was very instrumental and helped me put it together. She lives in Louisiana, right on the, well, she doesn't live in a bayou, but close to it. And her family has, they have a couple of big pieces of land, and they have a couple ponds there. And you know what's in the ponds, right? Alligators. That's what's in the ponds. And she's something with the alligators. She picks them up and carries them, and snakes. She said she picked up a snake. I said, how do you know it wasn't like a water moccasin or something? She said, oh, no, I know what they look like. It's okay. I just don't want them to hurt the dog, her little dog. She said her and her mother are going to Disneyland, I guess, Disney World. It's in Florida.
Is that Disney World.
Disney World. And they're going for a week. And, man, that's a trip to bring your American Express a week. And but God bless her. I'm glad her mom takes care of her like that and invited her along, and they're going to have a good time together, as they should. You know, when you can stay with your mom for a while, you should do it. And because you'll miss her when they're not around. That's the truth. You will miss them. And the show, you know, we got set back a few times on the show, and it's hard to get it together. Last week I didn't do the show. We just ran the week before. It's a singer, very very nice guy, Ryan, and he's Ryan Baker. And Sunday, June the 2nd, he'll be at the Italian American Club, and you ought to call down there. I don't know how many tickets are left, but you could call down there. It's the Italian American Club down on Sahara. But just ask for the Italian American Club. Google it. It'll pop right up. It's the only one in town. And it's like being in one of the classier casinos, classier hotels. There is no gambling there. I don't believe there's even smoking there. I don't think there is. So it's a place to go and have great food. Their chefs are unbelievable. And so they have great food, great drinks, great entertainment. And the excuse me, the fare is not bad at all, you know. So I think it would be good if you could just stop in and just see it. You don't have to go to the show. You could just stop in and have something to eat, have a drink at the bar. See about maybe joining. It's a fun place to go. They have a lot of members. They have a lot of events down there. They have a lot of things happening. Excuse me. I haven't been there myself in a while because of the show. But as a matter of fact, the last time I was there, I think I had lunch with Ben Spano. He runs the place. I don't remember. But in any event, I'll be going back down. I just have so many things I get caught up in. I have the carpet business that keeps me running around like crazy. And then I have the radio show, too. And but I'm trying to break away and from doing too much, doing so much. Let somebody else do it for a while. Let me get out of here. The show, I'm going to have some, next week I'll have some entertainers on. I don't know who yet. I was just telling Justin, I forgot. I have a fabulous, funny, funny disc from the voice impressionist in the world. And he used to come on my show. Front row center stage, and he made me a couple. It was probably about 6 or maybe 10 different stories, and they're just so funny. It was about Hollywood, you know, and TV and movies that he was in, and I have it. I found it yesterday, and I wanted to bring it and play it. I'll bring it in next week. I just put it on my desk, and I forgot to pick it up, and I was running a little late, I thought, but I really wasn't. And we can... we have to take a break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away. And we're gonna play. I don't know. We're gonna do something. Justin's chomping at the bit to do something here. All right, but we'll be right back.
Night and day.
Quite the heartthrob when he married for the first time. Over 2,000 female fans gathered outside the ceremony at St. Patrick's Cathedral, dressed in black as a show of mourning.
1960.
We're back. If you were listening, that was Ryan Baker. He was just doing a few tunes for us, and that was live from the Italian American Club the last time he played there. And he'll be back on the 12th of June, correct? Yeah.
No, second.
The 2nd of June. I'm sorry, the 2nd of June. And he's a great entertainer, and you'll like him. I believe it's $70 for the show plus dinner. And the food is exquisite. Believe me when I tell you that. And I've eaten there quite a few times, and it's very good. What else could I tell you? You'll like it. That was a shot of Venice here. I have to get Giada Valenti. I got to call her and see if we can get her on the show. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow or something, you know. She was down in Nashville recording some music down there the last time I called, and so I couldn't really get her. But I'll call again and see if I can get her husband and get her on the show. And, she doesn't have to be here. You know, she could be there and do it the same way we're doing it with me, you know. She's much easier to look at, though, than I am. And, I wanted to say hello to Denise in California. And I wanted to say hello to Jeannie. My Jeannie. Yeah, there's Denise there. And Jeannie out there in Mass. And how much time do we have?
15.
I don't have time to get them both. I meant to call them both. But I guess I can... I guess I could call one of them, huh? You want to call Denise and see if we can get her? See if we can get her on the line? And we have her book up in our... Yeah, I think we do, yeah. Oh, I don't have it. Hold on, I'll have to find it. But, yeah, she sent me something the other day. And I'm looking for her number to call her. But, well, maybe not. Maybe we won't be able to get her this week. Here's something here. Let's talk about this. Caught kissing a man. Full story. Christie kisses Anthony Scaramucci. I never liked him either, Scaramucci. And they put a beard on and a mustache on Trump. Look, looks just like his kid, but with blonde hair. Yeah, Jersey Governor Chris Christie and Anthony Scaramucci. Yeah. Scaramucci, communications director for 10 days for Trump. What a disgrace. Yeah. The short period of time as one Scaramucci. The bombastic Wall Street personality was hired as Trump's communications director in July of 2017, though he ultimately lasted a little more than 1 week on the job. Jesus Lord. In the months and years following the exit, Scaramucci had emerged as a Trump critic. All in all, the mooch followed a similar path of Chris Christie, who served as Trump's White House transition director before turning against him in just a few short years. When Christie announced his presidency bid last year, Anthony Scaramucci emerged as one of his early donors. The two have since become friends, as evidenced by the Christie attendance at the event of Scaramucci's new book titled From Wall Street to the White House and Back. Yeah, there he goes. At one point during the event, Scaramucci leaned in and appeared to be attempting to kiss Christie on the cheek, at which point Christie turned and briefly kissed Mooch on the lips. See if we could see it. Do we see it? Can we get that smooch? Can we get the two of them smooching Scaramucci and... Jesus, good God. And didn't we just talk about the madness, this nonsense? Yeah, there he is. Yeah, there he goes. Smooching each other. Oh, God. Well, what are you going to do? And, the people, you know, that the problem with people don't understand, I don't think they do anyway. Who is it? Denise? I don't think they understand the, when I was talking about how crazy the politicians are, it was a perfect example of them kissing each other. Yeah, two has-beens looking for more attention.
Hey, Denise.
Unbelievable.
Give me a second here. I'll get you out.
Do I need the headphones?
Try it. Let's see.
These here? Shoot. Go ahead. Denise?
Yes. Hi, friend.
How are you doing, cutie pie?
Okay.
Yeah?
Can you hear me clearly?
I hear you as if you were sitting right next to me.
So, oh, that sounds good.
I'm glad that we were able to catch you. I wanted to call you earlier, but I got off on a tirade, and I took most of the time. But how you doing, kiddo?
I'm doing well.
Yes?
I'm doing well.
That's what I saw when you were sending me some facts there, that you were doing well.
And yes, yes.
Things are going good for you.
Yes, back in action.
And you said you got someone that's doing the vocal book?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I just sent the contract off, and we start next week recording two hour sessions, two times a week. I'm very excited about it.
Now, who's going to be reading it, you or them?
I am, of course.
Good girl.
I am. Yeah. It's going to be our potential launch date right now is September 1st to be up and ready for sale. And then I'm going to do a pre-launch July and August for the audiobook.
Well,
I'm very excited.
Well, you should be. And if you do it, you'll be able to punctuate the things that need to be punctuated. You know, the things that need to be said a certain way, you know what they are, and you'll be able to do that where someone else may not.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it'll be the real deal.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. It'll be the real deal. I'm so happy, Dave, that happened for you. You know, I am. Whatever you can send me as times that we can put up on the show. I've just been having a hell of a terrible month and a half, really, in all honesty. But
it's a tough time.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Just unbelievable.
It has been tough, really. And that's what I hear from quite a few people, including myself even, you know, be truthful.
And it's sad.
So what can I... Yeah, it's sad, but...
But we're going to move on.
This brings us to the next level.
Yes.
I believe these valleys will bring us to the mountains.
Yep.
Seriously, I feel that way. And that's because I faith walk. I mean, that's what the book is about. It's about real and it's about, you know, faith and what everybody has to go through to get, you know, where they're going.
Yes.
That's the journey.
It's a journey, all right. There's a journey.
Yeah. And the hardest thing is to walk by faith and not by sight, right, partner? That's what I feel.
You got it. By faith, not by sight. You got it. That's the truth.
So what could I send you? Tell me what I could send you on off air or on air or whatever, and, you know, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, just some information on... When you're going to be doing the reading and stuff like that, and a little bit more on the book and the date that you're thinking, and just information, general information. You know what I mean? It's always good to have.
Okay. That. Oh yeah, I'll keep you posted.
Yeah.
Definitely keep you posted. It should be interesting. I would even read from the book, but, you know, what I have on the website, on the audio clip, it may not be okay for airways, you know, that segment on my website, because it's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, reading. But I will definitely keep you informed.
Well, if you did,
because I really appreciate your.
If you did it on a podcast, if you did it on a podcast, you could just say whatever you want. It's the radio that you got to be careful what you say, but
right, exactly. Yeah, well, I did it on the podcast, because I did a podcast because I'm on Spotify and Amazon,
right,
and a few other platforms, but they could go to www.outofrespectbook.com. And listen to some of it on the homepage. And that's 11 minutes of an earful. And that's how I got the attraction of all these people And this is the person, Jean Vay, who found me on LinkedIn, followed me, and did the podcast, and the international podcast. Then he came around, and I thought he wanted to do another podcast, and he said, I want to do the audiobook.
Wow. Well,
that's God in action.
Yeah, it sure is. And you needed that. You did.
Yeah.
You needed that in more ways than one, you know, to lift you back up again.
Exactly. I was just going to say God threw me a line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you got another avenue there to sell the book. It's a great avenue, you know, because that's.
And it's not bad because it's not been out a year.
Yeah.
So it'll be before a year that it's up.
Yeah. No, I like it. I like the idea. I really, truly, I do. And I wish we could have got you a little sooner, but Justin was goofing off.
Yeah.
He's making faces.
He's a good guy.
Yes, he is. Excuse me. I got to start drinking more water, Justin, or vodka, or wine or something, you know? Preferably the last thing, you know?
If you drink any of those, you got to drink a water back.
Yeah, yeah. A water back, huh? Okay. I got you. I only drink the water back if I'm doing a scotch. You like that, huh, Justin? A little scotch, huh? In any event, Jeannie, I'm sorry, Jeannie. Baby, I'm sorry we got you so late, you know? Where we can't talk because I got to do some stuff here.
That's okay.
But
you can call me again.
I promise you, I'll call you next week. We'll get you on earlier.
Yeah.
And
okay.
And we'll chit chat with you. How's the weather out there in California?
Yeah. It's actually finally the sun came out today because it was cloudy and dreadful for a week. But now the sun came out today about an hour ago.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Well.
All right.
Put a bathing suit on. Go lay out in the sun. Get some suntan.
Thanks for checking in. And give my best to Justin and to your audience. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks.
I'm glad you called.
Thanks, Denise.
Okay.
Love you, kid.
All right, friend.
Bye,
babes. Love you back. Bye-bye.
There's a nice South Philadelphia girl that wrote a book, and she's looking to get it heard, you know. Just not a lot of people, maybe just a million, you know, just a million people. That's all. That's not asking much. Get on the bestseller list or something, you know. And it probably should be. If you like gangsters and you like stories and you like laugh, you know, it's got some humor to it. It's got some tragedy to it. It's got a little bit of everything, and it's a real South Philly story. Excuse me. Excuse me. I think you'd like the book, and you ought to try buying it. And we've got a few minutes here, right? I wanted to get with every time I see that picture there, I think of Giada. We got to get in touch with Giada. I may call her today. And just see what she's doing and when she could perhaps be on the show. And but next week I'll have a couple people on. This week was just crazy for me. I couldn't get my head around anything. So we'll see what's happening in this week and who's in town. And I may just bring some people in from some of the hotels, you know. Not that I know them, but I don't need to know them. Just need to let you meet them and know them. But in any event, the idea is to introduce you to as many people as we can. And we're going to start doing that this week coming. Like I said, our start off was terrible. It really, truly was. And it was hard to catch up. You know, I got sick and I had somebody take over for a few weeks. And, you know, that sets you back because you get a little lax. and you don't stay on top of things like you should. And then I had some other problems after that. Again, I haven't even started to do what this show's capable of doing. But we're going to see about getting it all started and get it up and running. And I got a couple really good ideas for some stuff. So we'll see. But in any event, we're a minute out, huh? I hope you have a great week. I hope this week coming is better than last week that I had. And I hope you have a really good week for yourself. And I got to do something with this cough. But I spoke to a guy this morning at about 7 o'clock. A friend kind of, and he was in a hospital. He was eating roast pork, and he choked on it. And he had to go to the hospital to get it out of his throat. And he was there kind of all night. And that happened to my brother also. He did the same thing with chicken. I think when you're eating and you're not supposed to be talking. And I think that's what it is. You know, you're talking with a mouthful of food, and you end up swallowing that. And if it goes down the wrong, which could have went down the wrong way. And that'll kill you. You got to really be careful. So watch when you eat. Don't talk while you're eating. Just chew. Chew 32 times. That's what my uncle used to say. Chew 32 times, and he was in tip-top shape. All right, we got to go. That's enough information for you. Have a great week, and we'll be talking to you next week, and we'll bring in... Some stuff with Rich Little and some entertainers, okay? Thanks again for tuning in. I hope I didn't rattle you with my opening. But if I did, so be it. I'll speak to you next week. Have a great weekend. What's left of it.
Yo, D. My name is Denise DeStefano, and this is my story. I was born and raised in a neighborhood called South Philly, a close-knit Italian section that was headed by Angelo Bruno, otherwise known as the Docile Don. He was the head of the Philadelphia crime family. To us, Angelo was just a sweet man who helped everyone he could in the neighborhood. My father was a plumber, a racketeer, not a made man, but an associate. I guess you can say he was diversified. He was a very giving and kind man, always laughing and joking. My father, like others, enjoyed the fruits of the victimless crimes for him and our family. When I was little, I thought my father and his friends were just popular guys. They could go anywhere in the neighborhood, get anything they wanted, and nobody accepted their money. My mother, on the other hand, was a narcissistic woman of multiple personalities who subjected me to physical and emotional torture. She was addicted to prescription drugs as well as street uppers and downers. I knew something was wrong at age 8, but others didn't catch on until much later. My father, his family, the fellows, and the neighborhood were my safe haven, my caregivers. I remember the first time my mother tried to kill me. I was 7 and a half, and it was the night before my confirmation. My mother was bathing me, kneeling by the bathtub in our black and white tiled bathroom. I was in my bubble bath, rattling off about the next day's events. My daddy coordinated this lavish party for my confirmation at the CR Club at Palumbo's in South Philadelphia on 9th Street. That was where the stars performed. Frank Sinatra, Dee Martin, and anybody who was somebody showed up one time or another. In my father's eyes, he thought he would not see me get married. So seeing me in the church with a veil on were his reasons for going all out, including a handmade dress and a matching bag. After that, what can I say? He was my father. I continued to tell my mother, as she bathed me, what I did that day with Daddy, and that I saw Buster Brown shoes in the window on 7th Street and how I liked to get them. My mother's face got scary, and she started to scream.